Today's psalm is one of the most recognizable to the English-speaking world. And many will argue, and I don't think they're wrong, that this psalm, especially in the King James Version, is a pinnacle of the beauty and poetry of Scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It really is lovely, isn't it? The author Kurt Vonnegut called it the most perfect poem ever created. And even people without exposure to Christianity or Judaism have absorbed this text from popular culture. It has inspired countless songs and poems. It's been in books and TV and movies. And throngs of people have recited it during times of distress and fear. And very few funerals happen without a rendering of it, bringing comfort to those who are left behind. It's beautiful, and it always seems so appropriate. And probably that's because we are always needing some kind of guidance and comfort, especially in this chaotic world. If you're anything like me, though, you might bristle just a tad at the idea of being called sheep. But the pastoral images of this psalm are just so appealing, even if I'm being called a sheep. Who wouldn't want to sprawl out on the soft grass on a beautiful day or rest next to a quietly burbling stream or even have a great feast set out for them? If we get too caught up in the beautiful images, we miss an important and controversial statement that this psalm makes from the very start. Who is my shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. According to Bible scholar James Mays, in the ancient Near East, the role and the title of shepherd was used for leaders as a designation of their relation to the people in their charge. Kings are described and portrayed with a mace or a rod and a shepherd's crook or a staff as sigils of their office. The Lord, though, is my shepherd. Not Caesar, not a king or emperor or dictator or president, none of them. No, God alone is my shepherd. We belong first and foremost to God. And it is as political as it is religious. I had to laugh last week when, within 24 hours of the election of Pope Leo, a conservative pundit criticized, "He may be American, but he isn't America first." And of course not. God is his shepherd. Why would the leader of the global Catholic Church put anyone or anything other than God first? That's exactly as all people of faith should want it. We are all the sheep, and we need our shepherd. However, there's a danger when we read this psalm and place ourselves in the place of the sheep. It can give us a skewed perspective. Namely, that God wants our flourishing more than others. that the shepherd cares about some sheep more than others. That the table is set in the midst of foes is just for us, with our enemies looking at it longingly, instead of them sitting at the table with us. We are the sheep, yes, but we're not the only sheep. And the shepherd loves all the sheep. Or to use Jesus' words, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. No one will snatch them out of my hand." They are all precious. Also, did you happen to notice what it is that the sheep take comfort in? A rod and a staff. Not exactly warm and cozy, but comfort didn't actually originally mean that either. We've got the word cum meaning with, and fortis, strong. It's to strengthen, to make strong, to push forward to a destination, to empower in order to reach a goal. The comfort comes from the shepherd's rod and staff. These are tools of herding. The staff, or that shepherd's crook with its iconic curve, was used to loop around the sheep's neck and move them to where they ought to be, or maybe pull them back if they were getting too far ahead. And then the rod, well, that was used to prod the sheep forward, to whack them to get them back in line so they don't wander off. And sometimes it was even thrown for protection. None of it was in a malicious way, but it was in a way that ensured that the sheep would keep to the right path. Not exactly a punishment, just more of a correction. God ultimately wants us to walk the path of righteousness and justice and to find gentle comfort. But it may take some pokes and prods to get us there. I know I have felt them. We can't have one without the other. Unfortunately, in English, this psalm ends on a bit of a saccharine note, though. "Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And when I hear this, I think it's such a gentle and loving image of God just kind of daintily plodding next to us. But it's not an honest translation. Like the word for comfort, the Hebrew word used here has much stronger meanings. It means to pursue, to hunt, to capture, to overtake. God's goodness and mercy are hunting us. We can't outrun them, and ultimately, there is no one who will escape. God will get us in the end. Love and justice and peace will prevail. So, God alone and no other is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. God leads me in the right direction to encourage the flourishing of all. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and staff, they prod me along to give me strength. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Then we all share and eat. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall stalk me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We are all here because we hear the voice of the shepherd. Now we have to follow.